Luke chapter 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we're going to read verses 9 through 12 this morning. I realize on this topic there's all types of verses you can use as a text, because you know there's so much in the Bible about money. One out of every five verses is on money and the rightful use of possessions. So there's so much in the Bible. We're going to take a glimpse at it this morning from this angle. But Luke chapter 16, I'll read verse 9, you read verse 10 with me, okay? And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And let's pray. Father, please use this morning. Thank you for it, Lord, the truth. But Lord, teach us, please. And Lord, when the world is struggling, and Lord, the foolishness of, Lord, the wrongful use of money, Father, help us, please, as your people. Help each home here. Strengthen us, please, according to your word, and help us. Give us understanding so we can apply it to our lives, and then you can bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. If you look at verse 9 and 10, it has, verse 9 says, make to yourselves friend of the mammon of unrighteousness. I know when we talk about money, we don't call it mammon. But the Bible term, you won't find cash in your Bible. The word cash isn't found if you got a King James Bible. But you will find mammon of unrighteousness. And then if you'll notice verse 10, it says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. There it is with the word switched. That's the word for cash again. And then notice if all we did this morning was just look at Luke 16 and I didn't go anywhere else with you. Those verses are so sobering. I'm not gonna just hit these truths this morning, but do you realize what God says in verse 10? If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You say, what's true? First of all, what's true riches? That's things money can't buy. You can't buy a good marriage. You can't buy your kids being blessed and helped. There's true riches and things money cannot buy. And when you put that in line, we know true riches isn't money. When you put that in line with this verse, that means God says how you handle your money determines how much I can bless you. And if you're foolish with your money, I can't give you spiritual things. If your money is out of control and it controls you, God says, then I can't. Right? And you know, some sobering verses in your Bible are Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. For you either love the one and hold to the other, or you hold to the one and hate the other. Somebody says, I love God and money. You can't. You either hold to the one and you love the other, or you hate the one while you hold to the other. God says, you can't. None of us can. But there's people who think they can live outside of the Bible and its principles for money. Here's a strong one, verse 10. God says, how you spend the quarter that's in your pocket determines whether I can help you in other areas of your life. That's pretty stout, isn't it? God says, I can't, there's things I cannot do for you spiritually when you squander and you waste what I give you in money. You say, whoa, starting a sermon like that. Man, that's not a pun. We're running for the field goal. As we go into stewardship, like I already told you, you can't study missions without studying money. You can't teach on missions without teaching on giving. They can't go unless we send them. Why don't they just go themselves? Because pretty much, if that was the case, I only know two missionaries that were wealthy before they became missionaries that could provide their own support. Nobody else could. Then there wouldn't be hardly any missionaries. The idea of stewardship is found in your New Testament. Found in your Bible more than this, but in your New Testament, the word stewardship is found 14 times. Stewards, steward, stewardship. It's found 14 times in your New Testament. A steward is somebody who has been put in charge of another person's possessions. It's like the word of a guard or a keeper. And one day, we're going to give an account of what God's given us. You say, oh, you're talking about money. I'm talking about everything. Everything. God says, I gave you everything you have. Well, I worked for it with my hard-working hands. Deuteronomy 8 says, God gave you the power to get wealth. Amen? And if you doubt that, God can put you on your back in 30 seconds, and then you'll wish you could work. No, God gives us everything we have. Time, talent, and treasure. Okay? Normally people who waste their time are also people who waste their money. Because you don't have character in one area of your life and then you're void of it in another area. Normally your character is whatever level it's at and then it affects everything you do at that level. Now, to understand stewardship, and I wanted us to, with our missions conference next week, I wanted to hit a basic money topic with you of budgeting. And it's very much in the Bible. And here, Jesus is teaching us about handling our money correctly because he uses the word mammon twice. If you understand this, then the next verses will make more sense. And I'll tell you what, go to Proverbs 21:20. Proverbs 21, verse 20. I told you before, one out of every five verses in your Bible is on money and the proper use of possessions. For people who say, oh, he's going to talk about money again. Well, wait a second. A pastor that doesn't teach the people about money are left to themselves. Well, then what do? Then you got all the world's teaching and everything. I'd rather get teaching from the Bible what's right. Amen? And I'd rather you have God's blessings on you than... And there's so much. It's not just about giving. It's about proper management and being in control and money not controlling you. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil. That's a symbol of prosperity in the Bible, okay? And it's not talking about ground oil. It's talking about olive oil and that stuff. And oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. The Bible also says a fool spends all that he has. So a Bible principle I can pull from the Bible would be this. It's very unwise to zero out an account every week to live paycheck to paycheck. Something's wrong. You say, well, when I get a job, I tell them, I got to make this much money. You're thinking backwards. You don't need this much money. You need to live within the money you're making. But people say, well, no, I got to make this much. This stupid minimum wage thing. They're going to kill businesses, and then it's going to go robotic. They're going to get kiosks, and then watch what happens. It's total foolishness to minimum wage. I've said it for years. I know I'm off. I'll come back to it. But look, what an employer pays an employee is what they're worth. And if you're worth your keep, a good employer will want to keep you. But to go in and demand a wage, I'm going to get paid this much. I'll pay you what you're worth. Some are worth a lot more than 15 or 10 or minimum wage. And some ain't worth it. Some are slobs. They don't know how to show up. Ask any employee. The roughest day of the week's Monday because Sunday, Saturday and Sunday are party days in America, and it's hard to get people to show up Monday morning on time. When I was working, you got two hits. My boss said, it ain't three. You show up work twice, you're done. I was at work a half hour before I punched in every day. I never got there. Made it. There's something, I'm going to make a strong statement because I didn't watch you last week do this. I'm not, but if the Holy Spirit applies this to your life, amen. There's something wrong with somebody that's living that way. I understand all of us can have emergencies and it might happen once or twice in life, but to be living that way day after day, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong, but that's not the way life's supposed to be lived. Look, you're in Proverbs 21. Go to 27, verse 23. Ready? You say, are you sure living by a budget is important? The word budget is not in the Bible, but the principle is. Look at Proverbs 27, 20, and I hope you mark it. Watch this. 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. How can you do that without putting your money on paper? God says you ought to know every dime that you make, and you ought to know every way your money's being spent. And you'll never know how much you're spending on coffee and soft drinks and fast food until you put it on paper. I promise you this right now. You're spending a lot more than you think until you put it down. And one day, if 1 week, if you carry it in your car, or I know we're paperless now, so whatever you got to do, put it on your phone, put it on a piece of notebook paper, write down everything you spend money on in 1 week, and you'll be shocked at what you waste. You want me to end the sermon now? God says here, be diligent to know the state of your flocks is your income, your wealth. You ought to know what's happening. Somebody says, oh, interest. You ought to understand, oh, I just let the bank figure it out. Really? Math is such a problem. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. That's why I feel sorry for the kids that are graduating in high school now. They can't do math. They can't do science. How do you live? How do you manage a budget? How do you live financially without understanding simple math? That's what's happening to our society. You're in Proverbs 27. Take your Bible and go to, look at Proverbs chapter 30. Look at verse 7. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 7. This is a wonderful prayer for every Christian. A wonderful prayer for every Christian is Proverbs chapter 30 and look at verse 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. So he's praying to the Lord. Remove far from me vanity and lies. And look at, here's the prayer request. Ready? Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. What a prayer. You think about this. Notice verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. You know what he's praying? He says, Lord, I know me, and if I get too much money, I won't think I need you anymore. So God, don't let me be that rich to where I ever think that I don't need you in my life. And then, Lord, help me not to be so poor that I cuss you and blame you for everything and that I justify stealing. Okay? We're watching that happen in society, right? As they blast the elites with all their money and capitalism and all this stuff. So Elizabeth Warren and those people, Bernie Sanders, they're fools. Tax the rich, and guess what happens? They leave. Now where do you get your... See, capitalism is this. You have capital, I don't. So could you hire me to work, and then if I like working for you, I will. If not, I'll save up money to where one day I get my own business. But it's one of the two. You cannot have capitalism without the wealthy who own the businesses. Well, we'll just tax the 1%. You fools. Tax them, and guess what they do? They go to South America. They move. Now you don't have any more people that have enough money to do the hiring. Then guess what happens? Step number two, the economy tanks. Step number three, anarchy breaks out. And step number four, genocide as the communism moves in. No. This talk about, well, they're rich and they're... Everybody didn't inherit everything they have. Some worked really hard for it. And I'm not against people who inherit money either. I don't think just because you inherit something from your family, it doesn't mean you have to waste it. You can apply character to it. But all this talk we're dealing with in the news here, God says here, a good prayer for every Christian is, Lord, don't ever let me be so rich. Just keep that kind of money from me to where I don't think I need you anymore. And Lord, don't let me be so poor that I cuss you and then justify wrong in my life because I'm poor. Now I get to do this and nobody else does. Beautiful verse, neat to think about, especially in this day and age. Let me just tell you this. 1 Chronicles 29 says this, verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. One basic thing you learn as you read your Bible is that all budgets work the same, and I'm so glad. You know, God doesn't say give this exact amount of money. He says give this percent. That's why every good budget is a percentile budget. You understand? If you made a buck last week, then you owe God 10 cents. You don't owe God 10 bucks, right? You owe God 10% of what you... If God blessed you and gave you $5,000 last week, you owe God 500 bucks, right? Move the decimal point, right? That's simple. God doesn't say, give me this exact amount. He says, give me this percent. And you start seeing that through the Bible, a proper budget is set up on a percentile. That's why they say basic things like this. If you're spending more than 25% of your monthly income on your housing, you're spending too much and you're going to get in trouble. You know what I've been taught my whole life? Take how much you owe, take how much you earn a week, whatever that figure is, and that's what you can afford in housing, either to rent or buy. One or the other. And if you go over that, you might fudge 5 or 10 bucks, but you go over that too much, every financial advisor will tell you, you're headed for, that's rough. You take whatever you can make, whatever you make a week, it's 25%, right? And you should not go over that for your housing. That's basic financial counsel. And you say, where's that say that in the Bible? I got that from financial counsel, okay? I've heard that my whole life. My dad always said, son, your car is going to cost you. You're either going to buy a new car and you're going to make payments, or you're going to get a used car and you're going to fix it. But there's no such thing as a car that doesn't cost you. So I try to tell my kids, this broke on it, Dad. I said, yeah, but it's paid for. I said, if you have to put $1,000 to $1,200 in your used car a year, you're coming out ahead. Beats $300 a payment a month. Do the math on that one. $3,600. Amen. There should be simple thinking in money for everybody. And we teach it to our kids. And here, God says both riches and honor come of God, and he's the one that gives power to get wealth, and living by a budget is very basic. Anybody who copies our government's financial policies will destroy themselves. And did you know if you lived financially the way Washington does, they'd put you in jail. Okay, write too many bounced checks, and you will have visitors, and they'll have lights on their cars. You can't look at your checkbook and go, oh, look at all that money. Man, I got... I know some people that do that. I got a lot of money. I got a whole bunch of checks. You're a ding-dong. You can't think that way. That's very unsafe. And it should be illegal. Now, nobody deals really with bound checks. They just live on plastic. The average household debt, check out the stats. The average household debt in America in credit card is over $20,000 per house. I hope that's not true. Just 15 years ago, it was $11,000. It's growing. People are living off the plastic. You don't have to write bounce checks anymore. You just put it on the credit card. And then when you get so much you can't pay, you just go file bankruptcy. And you let somebody else pay your bills. Every family should have a budget like every church has a budget. A schedule is a predetermined plan on how you spend your time so you don't waste it. And a budget is a predetermined plan on how you spend your money so you don't waste it. Now, before we do a budget, our principles have to be solid concerning our income. Here's 5 principles on income, and I didn't put it in the bulletin. Just listen to me. Number 1, always avoid get-rich-quick schemes. You know how it goes. If you know 3 other people, and they know 3 other people, you can be financially independent. You ought to, anytime somebody tells me, well, no, you can get more money if you'll sell it to more people, that's fueling it by greed. If the product's good enough, then I should be telling somebody, buy this because it'll help your home, not because it's going to get me more cash in my pocket. Amen? Always avoid. That's why I don't like Amway in the church. I don't like any pyramid system in the church. And when I find out about it, I always go, if you want a ministry in the church, good. Then give to people that have need. But don't start looking at every church member and, ooh, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, my goodness. I could be making $100,000 by the end of next year. You can't come to church that way, right? You can't look at every person as what they're worth to you in money. You can't do that and love properly as a Christian, right? Steer clear of the get-rich-quick schemes or the pyramid systems and all of that. Number two, never try to make money by chance. Proverbs 28, verse 20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." Two verses down, it says, "He that hasteth," or is in a hurry to be rich, "hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." You know what that's a verse on? I never gamble. I've never gambled since I've been saved. The principle on gambling is if I get a little, I'll get paid a lot. That breaks God's financial principles, and you can't do that. You can't do that. I never gamble. I don't buy nothing at the store. Well, maybe, you know, $10. And I feel so sorry for the people. Yeah, I watch them down at the Wawa. They're right in front of me, you know. And all I hear is, "Missed again. Missed again." Then they go over to the thing. I feel so sorry for people like that. You know, it's normally poor people. And you know, the whole lottery system feeds off the poverty. You do your own statistics on that, and it's sick. I hate watching them treat people like that. They're already struggling financially, but they take what meager cash they have, and they actually are hoping for something that never comes. God says it's a no-no. Okay? Avoid trying to make money by chance. Don't gamble. Number three, write down your income. Never count on income tax returns and bonuses. Don't count gifts you're expecting or overtime. Look, overtime should be just that. If you get overtime, that's great, but you cannot make a budget on overtime. Your budget is drawn up based on the money you know is coming in. And then this morning, I put a very basic budget on the back of your bulletin there. And I put, since I've been saved, my tithe comes first. I don't tithe if I have enough money left. I tithe. My wife and I have tithed for 33 years since I've been. When I got saved, I figured, I added up the jobs I had, paperboy, gas attendant, this, before I went in the Marine Corps, when I got saved, and I paid back tithes. Because I've done that since I've been saved. The tithe goes at the top. Whatever you make, then offerings. An offering's between you and God, right? An offering's what you'll pledge for missions. You say, "Well, I can't pledge anything." Everybody in here can give something to missions. "I can't give anything. I'm too tight." A penny? Okay, you want me to go there? You can't give a penny. I'll say it again. Everybody in here can give something to missions. That's between you and God. That amount is between you and God. Nobody in here is so strapped you can't give something to missions, right? How can you properly give to missions if your expenses aren't put on paper? I'll tell you, it's impossible. I'd like us to come out of this missions conference rejoicing. Last missions conference we had, it was good. I thought the Lord blessed in a wonderful way. I don't want anybody coming out of the missions conference going, "Oh, he's talking about pledging money for missions. He's talking about pledging for a year." And then they're not understanding. No, it doesn't start with your pledge. It starts with you putting your money on paper and you being in control of what God's given you. Then you can make, look, God doesn't lead you. I told you last week, Wednesday night, God doesn't lead you emotionally. God leads you through His Word as you read His Word and you understand it. But God's not wanting you to make an emotional decision next week. We're going to see the videos of the missionaries and I've seen the boat ministries down there in Panama, and they, you know, one church will pick up 300 people in their villages on the boat, you know, and then the kids come in, and man, those boats are near the water, and man, your heart's touched. God's not wanting you to make an emotional decision next week. "Oh, that's precious. I'm going to give $1,000. $1,000. And then you can't. God doesn't do that. God wants you to see the need and then say, "What does God want me to do?" I'll say it again. How do you give to missions above your tithe when what the rest of your life isn't on paper? I don't think it can happen. Okay? Finally here on principles on income. Never borrow from one budget item to another. Okay? If you would like a more detailed budget, I have one in my office. It's like 10 times this. It has many more categories with percents. If you'd like that. You know, when we made out our church budget, it took us 2 weeks. And you want to see the categories of our church budget? It's like four papers long. Cleaning, bus gas. We have so many categories around here. This takes work and planning. You can't just flippantly come up with a budget. It takes, you got to think through, how am I needing to spend my money? House and all that stuff. Now we're going to get into preaching, okay? If you have to cut, where and how do you cut for a budget? Here we go. You could get a cheaper car. You say, well, oh, how can I? It's amazing what people say they have to have nowadays. Wait until I hit point number two, okay? You should be able to afford your car. How about this? If you feel you're not making enough and you need to cut the exit because your income is not as much, then you know what you could do to cut your expenses? Don't throw anything. You could cut your phone off. Yeah. Incoming hymn books, you know, up here. Ding, 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 ding. Did you know in my day before cell phones, doesn't that sound funny?
In my day before cell phones, when we walked uphill to school in the mud.
Did you know in my day, if we had one phone in the house, it had the long cord, you know, that sister stretched all the way across the living room that everybody tripped over. We never thought about getting a second phone. Well, what happens if so-and-so's calling when they can call back? Remember when caller ID and the messaging was for rich people? Remember? We didn't have that in our house because we were like, well, we're not rich enough to have that. Now everybody's got it. Caller ID, so-and-so's calling. All I'm saying is if you need to, do you know the average cost per phone is $50 to $100 a line, depending on how many you have it with? Do you know what the cost of a landline was when I was growing up? $17 a month if you didn't make any long-distance phone calls. To go from, let's just round it up to 20. To go from 20 to $50 a line, I think personally, I tell every young couple, if you need to, get rid of your phone so you can live without going in debt. You go in debt too much, it leads to depression, leads to frustration in life. You can't save, and you know you're not doing what you're supposed to, but you're keeping up with the Joneses. I can say that because we don't have any Joneses in our church yet, okay? It's not all about image. It's not supposed to be. And so many people are image-driven. Well, they've got one. Well, they've got one. Well, good. When God sees fit, He'll give me enough money and I'll get one. Until then, you should be able to say, you know what? I can't afford that. If you can, I'm glad. I want you to have nice things. But if you can't, what are you doing? You're living in a fantasy land that's going to explode. And it's going to collapse. The cards come down. They fall. How about this? Cut the cable bill. Cut the internet bill. How about this? Turn down your thermostat. Oh, great, it's already freezing in here, and he's talking about turning down the thermostat. How about this? If you need to make cuts, don't go to the doctor unless absolutely necessary. I'm amazed at how many people go to the doctor every time. Achoo! Oh, my goodness, I need to go to the doctor. We went to the doctor once a year for a checkup, and then if you were so sick you had the flu, then you went and got a penicillin shot or something like that. I don't even think they do that anymore. But I'm amazed. Drink vitamins, you know, drink orange juice and have healthy things in your house and stuff. But look, to go to the doctor, especially if it's on the weekend, it's $150 to go to the urgent care and all that. Why? Could it not wait? Now, I understand if you're, you know, and pain and you can't sleep. I'm not talking emergencies. I'm just talking about sickness. Why are you going to the doctor so much? It's just running up the bills. Be careful. Be careful. If you need to cut, how about this? If interest rates are down enough, refinance your home. I know my wife and I, we had a 3.5. We are now able to refinance with a 2.75, right? If it goes down low enough, you can save several thousands of dollars on your home. Okay? Now, there's ways, and once again, I'm not for the reverse mortgage garbage and all that stuff. I feel sorry for people that do that. But here we go. Ready? Buy your clothes at Goodwill. Look, if you can afford new clothes, then get the new clothes. My wife and I, with our five kids, we've shopped at Goodwill our whole life. We pray before we go there, Lord, I need a new suit. And I go there, and And then if it's not there, I go the next week. And most you check my closet. Most of my suits, they all come from Goodwill. I pay $5-$10 for them. I'm not against you. If you can afford a new suit, then afford a new suit. Amen? That's good. But if you can't, why is it all image-based? It's all, well, what are people going to think? I don't know that you're saving money and you're wise with your money. Wouldn't that be a good one? Okay, here we go. I'm trying to keep your attention, but watch this. Have a surplus or emergency fund, okay? And then, I know people don't do this a whole lot anymore, but never post-date a check. If you're post-dating checks, like here, I'm going to write you the check, but don't cash it till next week or 2 weeks or next month, something's wrong. Now, people don't do that anymore. Now they just charge it on the credit card. You understand? The day of post-dating checks is kind of getting past that. It's just, here, just put it on the card. Who cares whether I got money to pay for it or not? Here's budget basics. Ready? Go to Proverbs 4, and I'm just going to hit a few things here. Look, I want you to enjoy the missions conference. I realize to do that, when Brother Harrison is preaching next week, you can't look at it as he's trying to bleed me. He's trying to get more out of me. You give the tithe, that's between you and God, and you should have an offering that you're giving. Whatever it is, 1%, 5%. I know some people, their missions giving is bigger than their tithe. But they've been doing it for 30 and 40 years. I know some people, they give 50% of their... I know some pastors that give 50% of their income to missions because it's so important. He's not going to do that with you next week. But he is going to say, what does God want you to give? Your tithe helps us reach people here. Right? Keeps gas in the van. It keeps the property right. It keeps the lights on. It pays the pastor. Everybody knows this. It's on the financial statement. I make $1,000 a week. I don't get paid if it's not in the church. You understand? You say, well, what happens if the offerings are low? There may come a day where I need to get a second job. Right now, God's blessed us. Amen? And I'm very thankful for that. He's going to say, this. What does God want you to do? And I'm hoping to lead you in showing you from the Bible, have a budget so you don't waste your money. Like last week's sermon was on not wasting your time. Okay? Look, you're in there in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Ready? Let thine eyes... Look at verse 25. Proverbs 4:25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove thy feet from evil. You say, what'd you read us those verses for? It takes determination to live by a budget. The only reason people live off of plastic is because they're not disciplining what they're spending. There may be some times you need to say, I can't afford that. I can't do that. I'm not going to buy that. I think I'll just drink water. There's nothing wrong with that. That's basic. That's life. Okay, the thought of telling yourself no, I hope you do sometimes. Did you know in the area of finances with a credit card, it's the easiest to never tell yourself no? Well, I'll just call the bank and have them raise the limit. They're offering my kids $10,000 limit credit cards in the mail. What? Every one of my kids has gotten them. You could have a credit card. We said, are you kidding? What's a kid doing with $10,000? That's insane. And then when you call, hey, can you lower it to $1,000? Something like that they could maybe bring up and then pay off every month. So that, oh, well, of course, they don't make any money that way. So they're not interested in that. But every one of my kids has gotten a credit card for $10,000 limit. You can't tell me that we're the only house that's saying no. I wish more people would say no. What's a kid doing with that kind of money? They'll destroy themselves with it, right? I know I would have. Amen? You give me at 18, fresh out of high school. What kid wouldn't do that? The way things are happening, it's nuts. Okay, it takes determination to live by a budget. Number one, just write down your monthly take-home pay from all sources. Then put your budget on paper. I'll say this, Husband and wife should always agree on a budget. Always. After the budget is set, then the budget is the boss. I've heard guys gripe about their wife, you know, well, she went to the store and bought a new grandfather clock for $4,000. That really happened. That was in Tennessee a long time ago. Did you tell her what the budget was when she goes shopping? Did you tell her how much your income will allow for her to spend on food per week?
Well,
she's just supposed to figure it out. And then he yells at her when she comes home. Husband and wife have to be together. This is how much we have for food each week. This is how much we have for the electric bill. This is how much we have. This is what we can't go over. It's communication. It's not, what'd you get all that food for? I'm serious. I watch stupid things happen. Husband and wife have to be together on it. The budget has to become your boss. I put that on the back. We're almost done. Use an envelope for each category. I know many people have had a drawer in their house, and this is where they keep every category. And if we have it in that category, this is our mad money, right? What's mad? Fun money. If you're out of fun money, then you don't have no fun. You go to the envelope. You say, well, I got to put gas in the car. You go to the envelope. You say, how much is in there? And every time you cash the paycheck, you put it in there and you put it in the category. It's called basic budget living. If you're a young person and your finances aren't that complex, you could do that. It's a great way to start. And if there's no money in the envelope, then you don't spend anything. Oops, looks like I need to ride my bike. If I haven't got it, don't spend it. Each payday, you should put the required amount in each envelope. And if you think about doing something different, ask the boss. Who's the boss? The budget. Obey the boss, your budget. As your pay increases, giving and saving should increase also. Adjustments should be made when the family size changes. Any adjustments in budgeted amounts should be agreed upon by the husband and wife every time it's adjusted. Track all expenses in monthly, and then compare to the budget. Cut where necessary. Okay? This morning, I wanted to just give you some... The word budget is not found in your Bible. But principles for budgeting your money are. Can we end where we started this morning? Go back to Luke 16. Go back to Luke 16. The principle of stewardship. If you're a child of God, God's given you everything you have. Your time, your talents, and your treasure. It's not all just about money. If you waste what God gives you, then He can't give you any more. If you're foolish with what God supplied you with, then God says, then I can't give you... Well, look at the verse. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse number 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, or the cash, or the money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Can I tell you what true riches are? I've told you. Do you have family members that need to be saved? You can't buy that. That's one of the things of the Christian life. I want God's blessings, so I don't want to do things that'll withhold those blessings. You understand? That's part of the drive of the Christian life. I want to stay close to the Lord because I need Him. I need His help with my marriage. I need His help with my children. I need His help with my job. I need His help with my family. I need His help with getting people saved. And God says there are true riches that if you handle the money I give you foolishly, or if it's out of control. I hope you take that verse. That verse has meant so much to me in my Christian life. And God says, there's certain things I can't do in your life that I could if you would just carefully handle your money. The old statement, my dad used to make it to me all the time. Son, don't let the money burn a hole in your pocket. Go into the store, have to get something. What'd you get that for? We got back on the truck. Well, I wanted some Twizzlers. And my dad used to say, burning a hole in your pocket, isn't it? My uncle used to pull, you've heard me give this illustration. My uncle used to pull out when I'd work for him. He'd pull his wallet out, that wad of cash right there, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 100. I'll never forget it. He'd say, you see that $100 bill right there? I've had it in my wallet for 4 months. Strong men retain riches, the Bible says, doesn't it? They don't have to spend it. He was teaching me as a young man, self-control. I don't have to spend it. I can go into a store and say no to everything. There's nothing I have to have. Strong men retain riches. I hope I know that this is, it's not supposed to be a slap in the face this morning. It's supposed to be something to help us get ready so we can properly do missions. Amen? Because if we'll properly give to missions, God blesses our church. Amen? When we're interested in enough to give to missions and people getting saved, then God blesses our church. And I've never seen a church that God blessed that wasn't given to missions. Amen? I hope the message is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please use this. Strengthen us as your people. Lord, I pray that please, these truths, I know some have done it longer than others, but Lord, it's an area that we have to stay diligent in and stay purposeful in. Bless these people, please.